Holding out hope. Holding out hope is a theme that we see in our readings today as we celebrate the presentation of our Lord in the temple, also in the West called Candlemas, which is the day of the year that the priest blesses the candles used for liturgical use in the church and other devotional candles that those of you may bring here today. But holding out hope can be lost on the world. In fact, if you ask the average person what today is, they're going to be saying they're holding out hope that the groundhog won't see his shadow so that there won't be six more weeks of winter. Or if you ask others, they will be holding out hope that the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl or the San Francisco 49ers win the Super Bowl. In fact, if you ask the average person what today is, you're probably going to hear, it's Groundhog Day, of course, or it's Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, after all, isn't that what we celebrate today? And while I'm being a little bit facetious, it's lost on society about the significance of today. The presentation of the Lord in the temple. You see, the secular world, which has abandoned the sacred liturgical cycles, the redemption of time through the feasts and fasts of the church, have developed their own, in some cases, silly and ridiculous so-called holidays like Groundhog Day, or worshiping at the altar of the NFL or the Super Bowl and sports teams. You see, the reality is that all are looking for something outside of the ordinariness and cycles of time. But there is a theme of the gospel. There is an intrinsic hope to the gospel which we hold to, that we cling to, that we as Christians proclaim to the world who is often lacking in hope. After all, who can put much faith in the shadow or lack of shadow of a groundhog? And yet we have gotten to that silliness. You see, in the gospel, we're presented with both Simeon and Anna. These are people of great age. And if you remember from a few weeks ago, I'd said that St. Simeon, according to sacred tradition, was over 600 years old. He had lived and was one of the elders who helped to write and translate the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the ancient Hebrew scriptures. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death before he saw the Lord, the promised Messiah. And so he literally was abiding for hundreds of years in a temple. He's the epitome of somebody who holds out hope. And Anna, who was by most standards a very aged person, 80 some years old, she also remained in the temple waiting for the presentation of the Lord. Because in this apparent tarrying of the Lord, these two, this man and this woman, these righteous servants of God, clung to the hope and the promise of the good news of God. The assurance that even though God may tarry, he would one day come. And today is all about the fulfillment of that hope. But how we understand this and how we, in a practical way, appropriate this for our own lives as Christians can sometimes be misunderstood by the world, by the secular world that's celebrating Groundhog Day and the Super Bowl. And by the way, I'm going to probably be watching the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that those traditions and customs are bad, intrinsically bad. But rather, we need to be directed about the significance, the true significance of this day. And sometimes we can be misunderstood. You know, kids will say the darndest things. As many of you know, my wife Pamela watches our three-year-old granddaughter, Kaylee, on days that she's not attending preschool. And so this past Wednesday, Woodrow and I had gone to work. I'd been up since about 3 a.m, and Pam had decided to stay home from the shop and to clean the house really well. And Kaylee was her little helper. And when I got home from work, I told Pam, I said, it was a little bit after lunchtime, and I said, I'm really exhausted. I'm gonna go in and lay down. So I went in and lay down, or went in to lay down. I shut my bedroom door. Kaylee, who had been helping Pam dust, barged into the bedroom, and I said, can I help you, Kaylee? She goes, I'm gonna dust your bedroom. I said, no, Kaylee, that's all right. Papa wants to take a nap. Okay. And she closed the door and she went out and she announced to Pam, she said, Pawpaw just wants a dirty bedroom. And we giggled about that. It wasn't necessarily a bad conclusion, a wrong conclusion based upon the fact that I turned her away from cleaning my bedroom. But in the same way that a young child can misunderstand really what I was intending and what I meant, so we as Christians can be misunderstood by a world that very often is in opposition to the teachings, to the values of the Christian faith. That which is even intrinsic to the hope that we hold, that we cling to. In fact, when we see the secularization of our culture, of our society, with fewer and fewer people attending church, fewer and fewer who are pious and serious about their Christian faith, we see the danger of secularism, of secularist multiculturalism. And I think that we see this primarily in two things that I believe will end up putting us as a church in a place of really truly holding out hope and perhaps one day suffering. And that is the confusion that surrounds sexuality and gender in our culture. Already within the Orthodox faith, we have at least one priest who's been labeled by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate monger because he is upheld and preached with courage the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. And against the militant homosexual transgender agenda, which would seek to confuse and poison the minds and souls of our young people. You see, the enemy knows that if the enemy can break down and rip apart marriage and sexuality as it was intended within the confines of marriage, then the enemy will be successful in ripping apart the very fabric of our culture, the unit, the family unit. And the other is the spread of Islam within our own society, within our own culture. Now, there is nothing, I have friends who are Muslim. This is not an attack against Islam or Muslim people in particular. But the reality is that as we have become sedated by this secularist idea that we just accept. We fail to see the reality that Islam stands in opposition to Christianity. It is a false religion of subjugation. It is a danger to our culture just as much as the militant homosexual and transgender agenda. But I say this with the realization that we are not to be triumphalistic, that we are not to be fundamentalists, that we are not to be venomous, but rather in upholding the hope of the gospel, we do so as Jesus did, with open arms, with love, with consideration for the people where they are. We incarnationalize the gospel through a life of humility, a life of finding healing and grace for ourselves. Because lest we be too prideful or judgmental about particular groups within our culture, we should remember that the presentation of the Lord in the temple is also one of judgment. Listen to what Malachi 3, the first lesson, says. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. If we want to incarnationalize and flush the hope of the gospel which we hold out to the world, then we must realize that judgment begins with you and I. In fact, St. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, he says this. And this is chapter 4, verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. The day will one day come where the church will become a suffering church. But outside of that, even as we enjoy the freedom of being able to freely worship within this country, we must remember that the Lord has come. We are about to receive him literally again. The presentation of the Lord in the temple, the reception of his body and blood into the temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies. This is why we need to be in good standing. This is why we come humbly, acknowledging our own sins, acknowledging that beyond sexual sins, beyond false religions, judgment begins with you and me. But just as we have received forgiveness and healing, let us uphold the hope of the gospel. Let us hold out hope, even as it has not fully been brought to fruition, for that day is yet to come. But until then, let us be the bearers of the love of Christ, the good news of the gospel, as we receive him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.